from the back.
We're live, pal. Welcome to Player Advantage. You literally said that as I start recording.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, no, they don't. Do they have contacts?
No, it'll just be you saying from the back. God damn it. Yes. Welcome to Player Advantage. I'm Marcus. That's Monet. Holy shit.
We're off to a great start.
We're feeling good. Tonight was a weird, interesting, cool night. We have so much to talk about. The first half of this show, despite me saying on the... Listen, I'm going to back it up. I'm going to slow down for a second because I'm fired up.
Please.
Remember how I said early on that this isn't a wrestling podcast? I think the first episode of the relaunch Player Advantage is simply, this is not a wrestling podcast. Fuck all that. For the next, I don't know, 20 to 30 minutes, this is absolutely a fucking wrestling podcast.
It's totally a wrestling podcast. We're wrestling fans.
Both of us are, right? That's what we bonded over. That's how we became friends.
Exactly. That's how we got along is through wrestling.
Yeah, 2011, 2012 on Tumblr.
Holy shit.
We just love wrestling. Like, I think the first time we ever hung out was we were watching... Was it Money in the Bank 2012? Was it Payback? No, Payback
it
was a show.
It was one of those shows.
Because yeah. I think it was like June, July, so it had to be Money in the Bank.
We were on webcam, too. We were
on fucking Tiny Chat.
Tiny Chat. Oh, my God, it was Tiny Chat.
Yeah, this is a remember lot Tiny right Chat?
Now. I think so.
No way Tiny Chat still exists.
No way. No way Spirited Away is better than Akira. No way. I'll stop.
So, an hour ago, AEW Rampage, the first dance went off. And the thing that everyone knew was going to happen, happened. Like, the second they announced this show as happening, everyone realized what was going to happen tonight on episode 2 of AEW Rampage. And... oh my God, it was everything that I could have expected it to be. The only thing disappointing about it, the only slight disappointment, is that he didn't drop anybody with anything, which I assume they're saving for Dynamite.
Yes, absolutely.
So CM Punk made his return to professional wrestling, his first in-ring appearance since January of 2014.
Fucking long time. 7 years. Seven and a half years.
And like, I know he's appeared like in a mask on indie shows, like to do a run-in. But this is the first time he's appeared as himself on a televised wrestling show since 2014. Since the Royal Rumble match in January of 2014.
And he's active. This is him. He's going to be wrestling again. I thought that we were going to get like a part-time thing, and I thought that we'll probably have him
on like this, a similar schedule to what Christian's working, where Christian shows up all the time, but he doesn't always wrestle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christian Cage recently, when did he show up? May at Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christian, he came in and he wrestles mostly on Dark. Like he'll do a couple shots here and there on Dynamite. He just won the Impact World title off Kenny Omega last week. Which, yeah, great for him. Great kind of full circle moment for him. But he mostly does not wrestle on TV. A lot of his matches have been on Dark. And so that makes him feel more special when he does wrestle, which is the whole point of a guy being part-time. That's why Brock Lesnar was on that schedule since he came back. Brock Lesnar came back in 2012, and then I don't think Brock has wrestled a single match on Raw since he came back. He wrestled that one match on SmackDown with Kofi that was like 10 seconds, and he doesn't work house shows. I think the one he worked was Beast in the East, which also, conveniently enough, was against Kofi.
God, it was.
Yeah.
Was. I thought he had one with... Oh, was it someone else? I thought he had one with fucking Rusev. I thought that was something.
I don't think those two ever had a match.
I must be thinking of someone else.
Brock Lesnar, off the top of my head, guys Brock worked in the last 8 years since he came back, or 9 years since he came back. He worked Cena, Triple H, The Undertaker, Punk, Cena, Orton.
Oh my God, he Reigns. Did! Oh, it was like Reigns, a Rollins, live show.
And Drew Mack and Kofi. Like, that's Goldberg. Oh my God, is the other one in there. Like, Brock only wrestled a handful of guys after he came back.
I have a video here. It's blowing my mind right now. He wrestled in 2016. He wrestled Rusev on a house show.
I do remember. Was that at the MSG show? Did they put that on the network?
I think it was. It was on one of the bigger house shows that they were kind of like streaming.
This is when they were trying and putting house shows on the network or certain ones. Okay, I do remember that.
That's fucking crazy. I thought it was a fever dream of mine or something. Holy shit.
Yeah, Brock only wrestled so many matches.
Not many.
That's what made him special. It made it a big deal when Brock showed up. Like, if somebody's wrestling Brock. Oh, and he wrestled the Rumble that one time.
Yes, he did.
And threw half the field out. It was awesome. Brock felt special because he's a guy who only shows up sometimes. Having Punk and similarly Christian be guys who show up sometime, who show up all the time, like who you see on the show but don't always get physical, makes it feel more important when they do.
Absolutely.
That being said, when Danielson comes in, I want him and Punk to win the tag titles.
I think that's like the ideal in a way, because Brian Danielson and CM Punk wrestling the Young Bucks for the titles.
That's like, you break 1.5 million on that.
Like, that's it.
that's huge.
Like, it's so, like, that'll be such a big match. And I know it's going to happen. It's totally going to fucking happen.
And I don't know anything WWE about WWE had those two tagging together, like, right before Punk left.
That was, I think that might have been one of my favorite, like, little dints from Punk, was him and I think it was
him and
they
Brian.
Had a name for his, they had a name for his, for the tag team, too. Did but they wrestled in Survivor Series. I think they did. They had, like, a little unofficial name. It was like an unofficial name. Okay. It was like something that the fans were calling them. Yeah, and the announcers might have said, like, mentioned it here or there, but like not like been like, oh, this is them.
Oh, the best in the beard.
Yes, that one. And it's just, I want that again, because I was such a huge fan of them and their dynamic and everything, especially considering their backgrounds. I fucking love that tag team. So I don't really care for the Bucks, but I know that's going to happen at some point soon. And I'm fucking ready.
I'm so into it.
It's a lot.
Twitter. Yeah, it's a lot. Like, I had to kind of take some time and like kind of contextualize how I feel, because like I said to you earlier,
it's hard.
I didn't realize how excited I was for him to come back until like 10 minutes before the show came on.
I didn't realize how I was sitting in my car. I was just getting out after a drive, and I was like it finally rolled in. It was like 10 something, and the fucking tweets were rolling in. I saw all the videos of him talking, and I was just like shocked, and I was like, you know what? I think I might just start watching wrestling again.
Yeah, like, I'm glad that I was already somewhat invested in AEW. Like, full transparency, and I've said this on this show before, but I want to say it again. I watch more AEW than any other wrestling promotion. I watched an episode of Dark Elevation a couple weeks ago. Like, I'm all in. Like, I really like AEW. I really like a lot of guys who are in AEW. Like, Orange Cassidy, I think it's fucking awesome. Hangman Phenomenal. Is great. As much as I wish they would do something else with Scorpio Sky, I'd like him and Ethan as a tag team. I think that, like, hey, here's two guys that we don't have any ideas for as singles guys. Let's let them be a team and let them just be fucking dickheads who keep fucking with everybody. I love that.
I love that too.
And Ortiz, like, there's a lot of shit in AEW I really like. I'm glad that this wasn't the first thing I saw. I'm glad I already, like, I would have watched this show regardless. You know?
And what were the matches tonight? Because I didn't.
John Moxley versus Daniel Garcia. Jurassic Express versus Private Party, which is a good match. Jurassic Express's finish is fucking nuts.
I need to see this to believe it.
Oh my god. They're great. There's a lot of stuff in AEW I really like. This is just another thing to like. And God, how do I put this? Adding the guy who was my favorite wrestler 10 years ago to your television show makes me like it more. You know? And I realized how much, like, it all kind of came flooding back to me, like, oh, right, this guy was, like, everything to me when I was 17. This was my guy. This was my favorite fucking wrestler in the world at that point in time. Like, as Booker T would put it, my fave five at the time, it was Punk, Brian, Kofi, who has always been my guy, and you can attest to that.
Yes.
Like, when Kofi won the title, people were congratulating me like I did it.
I saw the ass. I was fucking like... Half the timeline was, oh my god, Kofi. Half the timeline was, oh my god, Marcus.
What happened? It was just like, what the fuck? I was crying at work when that happened, too. Like,
stop. No. Bullshit.
I had to, like we were closed and I was just waiting for them to, like, grab everybody's, like, cash drawers and everything. I get a text from my dad that just says, all caps, Kofi. And I was just like, I had to go to the back and stop and like collect myself so nobody would see me crying.
Holy shit. This dude, like, was literally such, I remember, like, even on fucking Tumblr, you were just, it was constant Kofi. Yes. At one point.
I'm getting off track.
Yes.
So, Kofi, Punk, Brian were probably like my three guys. Honestly, if I had to say who my fourth guy at that time was, it was probably Cody Rhodes.
In 2011, right?
2011, 2012, I really liked Cody around that
time. Oh, yeah, he was great. He was great.
And honestly, number five is probably Cena. Either Cena or Sin Cara. My guy in 2011 was Evan Bourne. Now that I think about it,
Evan Bourne was great on Raw.
Evan Bourne, Christian, and then Mark Henry, who had just started doing the House of Pain gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was around the time he said, when Mark Henry's charging for air, you keep your bill paid, which is fucking insane trash talk. But Punk was probably my number one guy. Like, my mom bought me all the shirts. Like I was telling you, I had all but like one of the shirts that they came out with for him that year. He was my guy. And he came out to a Living Color song, which made him way cooler than everyone else by default.
By default. Like, because
he knows the truth that Vernon Reed is the fucking man.
Exactly.
I grew to kind of resent him. And I realized tonight, I didn't resent him as so much as I resented the way people talked about him. Like, he became this, like, messianic figure to wrestling fans, where it became less about CM Punk the man, CM Punk the wrestler, and the body of his work and what he, how good he was at that, and more about him as this symbol of everything WWE should be and wasn't, and how when he came back to wherever he was gonna go, it was gonna be like the rapture, essentially. Was how, like, people talked about him
pretty much.
Like, he was Christ.
Yeah, literally, and like the second coming.
That drove me fucking nuts. It drove me up the wall. And even now, people are using this time to be so weird. Like, so fucking weird. Go outside.
Are we talking about the war?
It's about the war. The war. This is all Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff's fault. Like, this isn't even CM Punk's fault. This is Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon's fucking fault. Because they romanticized and mythologized the Monday Night War to the point where two wrestling companies can't run in opposition to each other without fans being this way. I don't even know if opposition is the word that I want to say as much as it is. Two wrestling companies cannot exist on this level in America and not be interacting in some way. Can't not be interacting in some way. Not cannot, but can't not. Like, if they're, like, part of it is that people do not perceive Impact on being on the same level as AEW or WWE. Like, Impact is new Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
They are the number three.
Absolutely. Poor Ring of Honor. Whatever happened to them?
You know what? They're the only company booking black women. So, not WWE.
Hey.
Bianca and Sasha are there. Yeah. And Ember is there. That's true. But, like, how many black women have appeared on Dynamite recently? One? Mm. Two? Let Jade cut some promos. I'm getting off track. Because, again, I really like AEW. And Jade killing Kiera Hogan in 90 seconds was rad tonight.
That was pretty cool. I saw that shit, too. It was great.
Just bang, beat her, done, cool. Jade rules. But they definitely are keeping her matches short to protect her. But WWE and AEW, it can't just be one or the, like, it can't just be, this is the one I like, I don't give a shit about that other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And
go ahead.
A big problem I have, like, this is something I've been boiling over, because, you know, I don't really watch wrestling often anymore. You know, I'll dabble here and there in, like, my little wrestling archive, where I'll watch, like, a 2008-01 match, like, on an off day or something. But even as someone who kind of fell out of the, like, you know, the fandom of it, and generally just keeping up with it, seeing the AEW fans and just, like, just wrestling fans in general, like, draw this fucking line when, like, you can just, it's like you said, you can just watch AEW and not give a shit about whatever WWE's doing. It's so easy.
Imagine if you people talked about, I was going to say, imagine people talked about anything else this way. The easiest comparison, because I was going to make, I made the point on Twitter that, like, it's like a worse version of the DC versus Marvel arguments.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just magnified to a fucking million. But, like, a really good example is hockey fans. Hockey fans...
Really?
Hockey fans fucking hate the NBA.
That's so weird. I didn't know that.
Hockey fans, or a lot of hockey fans. I'm not going to say all hockey fans. Because, like... I'm a hockey fan. I like hockey. But a lot of hockey fans, especially white hockey fans, have this fucking deep resentment of the NBA, and nobody even tangentially related to the NBA can do anything without fucking hockey fans being weird about it. If a basketball player fucking breaks his finger, you know, like, if there's a collision and a guy gets, like... What in the grand scheme of things is a pretty minor injury, and it's like, he probably shouldn't play for the rest of the night. Hockey fans get on this fucking high horse about, our guys are so much tougher. This guy almost died, and he kept playing. Why are basketball players such sissies? And this is exactly how that kind of AEW fan acts, where it's like, You saw that tweet where someone was like, I bet Edge wishes he had gone to AEW instead of staying in WWE.
I, I saw it's that. Like, and
shut the fuck up. Just enjoy this moment. Enjoy that this thing that nobody thought would ever happen is happening without making it about this thing that isn't really related. Guess what? I'm sure Edge is super happy for CM Punk.
But I bet that Edge for Christian.
Is also, happy for Christian, his best friend. But I bet that he's pretty happy with what he's doing. He did a fucking Brood promo tonight.
Yeah, I saw that like literally before I got on.
He did the Brood promo.
The Brood promo. Like,
beware, take care, because the freaks come out at night. You don't think he loves what he's doing? If he's doing that?
The dude's literally having so much fun. It just, I saw that.
He's really glad to be doing it.
You can tell. Like, I just don't understand, like, well, this is my last thing on it, because it's driving me nuts, Marcus. It's driving me off the handle.
Go ahead.
I don't understand these people. Like,
they can't help themselves.
I don't get it. Why just talk positively? Like,
it is so much easier to talk positive about the things you like.
I would prefer going on someone whose name on Twitter has the handle like AEWFan49 if it was just him talking about how much he loves AEW, right?
But instead, it's always juxtaposed. It's always negative. It's always about how much you hate WWE and how much you want WWE to be AEW. Guess what? I haven't watched an episode of Raw since February of 2018. No, it was later than that, because I watched an episode of Raw with my dad before I moved back from Chicago. So maybe March, April of 2018. I literally pop in for, like, the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and that's it. How often do you see me talk about anything in comparison to how WWE is doing it? Like, I live tweet fucking Dynamite every week. Because I'm off on Wednesdays, so it's easy for me to just turn on my TV at 5 and just watch it, because it's a television show that I like. How often in those tweets do you see something about, I bet WWE wishes they did this? Like, no, I don't fucking care. It doesn't matter to me.
You're literally just, I don't know. It's fucking weird. You enjoy wrestling.
Imagine if somebody was watching Yu Yu Hakusho and stopped every 2 minutes to talk about how much better it is than Dragon Ball.
Imagine someone pausing Deep Space Nine every 10 minutes and tweeting about how much better it is than Babylon 5.
Yes, that's a great example.
It's like, you got two good shows. You got two things that you get enjoy out of it. I don't know why you're complaining.
I started reading X Factor this week. And I didn't stop every few minutes to say, oh man, this is so much better than Teen Titans. Because who fucking cares?
And? Like,
what does that have to do with this?
Can you lift off something positive about the thing you're watching? Like, anything? Even
then, talk about the thing that you are watching, that you are enjoying, without in the next breath talking about how much you don't like the thing that is similar to it.
That match is pretty good. That fucking shitty Intercontinental title match on SmackDown has you can't compare it. You can't compare this match that I just saw.
Then why compare it?
Exactly.
You're inherently comparing it.
Just be happy is what we're saying.
This is so much better than anything NXT has done in the last year. Fucking and? Enjoy NXT how good it is.
Is NXT still around?
NXT is still around. Let's talk about that before we spend all
the time. Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Fucking Rampage and CM Punk. Because we've gone for 20 minutes talking about that.
I fucking love you, Punk.
Ugh, I'm so glad he's back. I'm so glad.
I will watch it regularly now.
I'm glad, because it'll be something for us to talk about. And I'm excited to see what he does. I'm not jazzed about his first opponent being Darby.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I don't really
It's stupid. I don't like Darby Allin at all.
Darby's like a weird guy. And I'll leave it at that.
He definitely is. He's also awful.
And like, he's also, yes, but he's... I'll leave it at this. In regards to Darby Allin, I'm not going to get into the allegedlies, because I'm just not going to do it. He's a weird guy. He is the kind of person who makes it a point to talk about how much he doesn't like rap music, which tells me everything I need to know about Darby Allin. NXT somehow continues to exist. And by somehow, I mean, oh my god, half the roster got cut. Like, not half, literally, but a lot of guys who were in NXT are suddenly not in NXT. Ever Rise, now known as 2.0, are in AEW now, and they already have signed contracts with AEW. Good for them, because they're fucking great. They were great as Ever Rise. They're just really talented dudes. Like, Matt Lee is electric. Put a microphone in Matt Lee's hand and move out of the way. Just let him do his fucking thing. He's great. I'm glad that they landed on their feet in NXT or in AEW after getting cut from NXT. But in the last, like, 2 weeks since the last episode, Bronson Reed, Jake Atlas, Asher Hale, Ari Sterling, and Mercedes Martinez all got cut. A lot of them either just finished big program or just finished programs or were already in programs. And now they are gone. A lot of, like, I'm sure some of them will land in AEW. I hope to God they actually bring Mercedes Martinez in. Like, they kind of whiffed on her last time. A year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, they brought her in for a couple shots and then didn't sign her, and she ended up going to NXT. I hope they don't miss on her this time. I know she's what, 39? There's no reason to not bring her in. You need a vet to kind of anchor that women's division. And I know they've got a lot of really talented women in that division. They've got Chris Statlander. They've got, Britt Baker's fantastic. You lose nothing. You lose nothing at all by bringing in Mercedes Martinez in AEW.
I'm still shocked by how many releases there were, by the way. Sorry to interrupt. I was looking at the list on my computer here, and it's just, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, fuck. I don't recognize half these names either, but it's still, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, Mercedes Martinez just turned 40 this year. I don't see why you don't bring her in. Like, she is she's too talented to get missed on by both big companies in back-to-back years. Because WWE put her on TV. She was originally in Retribution as Retaliation. And then they dropped her and instead put it was just Mia Yim as the one woman in Retribution, which is dumb considering they have women's tag team titles, and you could have just put them together and had them go after those. That would have made that whole angle go a lot better instead of them getting killed by the Hurt Business all the fucking time. But I digress. Just NXT is rumored to be going back to being strictly developmental, which is, I don't hate it, but the problem. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just definitely don't mind it, but how abrupt it was so.
Well, yeah, because I'd have to say I have to guess that a lot of these releases weren't Triple H's call. They probably weren't necessarily Vince's call. I'd say a lot of that was Mr. Nick Khan, the new guy. He's like one of the VPs or one of the executives or whatever. He is apparently the one making these cuts because they're for budget reasons, presumably because they're trying to sell the company. That's my guess, is they are trying to sell a lot of stock in the company, and they are trying to make it look as profitable as possible. That's my guess. So anybody who they see as expendable is gone. And NXT as it stands, I guess, is expendable. So yep. What happens to all those other guys on the NXT roster? I don't fucking know. Like, a lot of them, I think, would be good on like a SmackDown or like a good shot in the arm for Raw. Like, the fact that there's supposed to be a women's tag team division, and I think there are two women's tag teams right now.
Jesus Christ.
Like, someone can correct me. If you're listening to this and I'm wrong, please let me know. But the women's tag team division, as it stands right now, I'm pretty sure, is just Natalya and Tamina and Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. Like,
holy shit.
Like, Nikki and Alexa used to tag together. They don't anymore. Asuka used to tag with Kairi Sane, and Kairi retired. Then there are a couple tag teams in NXT, but actually, now I think about it, NXT just broke up one of their three tag teams, and Candice LeRae is on the shelf for the next 9 months to a year because she's pregnant.
Yep. Which she's got a little baby.
What the fuck are they going to do with Indi Hartwell? Well, she's doing this thing with Dexter Lumis, so I guess that's what they're doing.
Oh my God.
But like, my thing is about going back to it being strictly developmental. NXT will never, they're never going to get the magic back that was 2013, 2014 NXT.
That was like the golden era. It was so good.
Like when they were using Welcome Home as their music, that's my favorite version of NXT.
Absolutely. You had Cesaro with a rotating coming down. Cast.
Yeah, Cesaro and Sammy were having they had their 2 out of 3 falls match. Cesaro had a banger with William Regal, I think.
Oh yeah, that was a great match.
You had people from the main roster would pop in for a show. Like, for example, CM Punk, when he was WWE champion, showed up in a really early episode of NXT, like 2012, and wrestled a tag match with then NXT champion Seth Rollins.
Oh yeah, that's right. And they posed with the belts together and everything. Mm-hmm.
I remember vividly because Lindsay, I don't know if you know Lindsay, my friend Lindsay, who at the time was running a wrestling photography site called Sunset Flip Photography. She was an NXT regular at the time. Like, she was going to FCW a lot, and then when it became NXT, she started going to that. And so she was taking a lot of those, like, a lot of those early, like, iconic pictures from NXT. That was her. Like, there's this great one she took of Punk that ended up in PWI, I think. And so that's why that's burned into my brain. But like NXT, like when Bo Dallas was champion, Neville was champion, it was Big E, Sami Zayn. I think the exact moment where it changed is when Kevin Owens goes to Raw.
Yep.
Kevin Owens goes to Raw with the NXT title, stomps on the US belt, and suddenly NXT is way different. Like, and it's still largely developmental at this point, but you can tell it's changed. Where now you're seeing that trickle of Ring of Honor guys, of TNA guys, of guys who are really associated with PWG. That goes from a faucet dripping to a full-on flood. Where
the amount of people they signed after that was
the amount ridiculous. Of people they signed between 2015 and 2017 or 2018 is insane, especially the guys specifically that they hired around this time. So 2015 to 2018, here's the guys who come into NXT. Like off the top of my head, you got Kevin Owens comes in late 2014, Samoa Joe in early 2015, Roderick Strong came in 2016. Kenta comes in as Hideo Itami in late 2014, I think. You've got Apollo Crews comes in around this time. Austin Aries came in for a little bit. Adam Cole, Red Dragon, Drew Galloway comes back as Drew McIntyre. Like, Aleister Black, Andrade. It was just like this deluge of just, holy shit, that guy?
Crazy. And Kushida, too.
Kushida came in last year.
Like, what the fuck?
And honestly, Kushida only came in because New Japan wouldn't let him move up. Like, if New Japan lets him move up to heavyweight, things go way different.
I totally forgot about that.
They were just like, no, you're going to be the junior guy who wins the belt when Hiromu's not here.
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much. And that was like, all right, well, bye.
And he left just before AEW started, because there's no doubt in my mind that if he leaves like 6 months later, he's in AEW right now instead of WWE.
Holy shit.
Like, there's no way that Kenny doesn't find out that he's available and tries and try to sign him. Ibushi came in for a shot. Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr.
Yep, and, for the CWC.
Yeah, came in for the Cruiserweight Classic, which I thought would turn out to be a way bigger deal than it was. And I think the only person who was in that tournament who is still in WWE on the main roster is Cedric Alexander.
That's ridiculous.
Like,
I didn't even realize.
I'm gonna pull up the people that were in that. Like,
because TJP isn't in there anymore.
TJP is obviously in Impact now.
Oof.
So the Cruiserweight Classic, which originally was gonna be called the Global Cruiserweight Series, which is a way cooler name.
That was way sicker.
Let's see. I'm going to put my glasses on. Okay, so let's see. The actual breakdown of guys who were in that tournament. Oh, I forgot Ali was in the tournament. Yeah. Ali and Lince. But whoever sees Lince and Grammy League do anything. Okay, so. Oh, and Tozawa. So Tozawa, Alejandro Saez, who I don't know. Oh, he was in Noah for a while. Okay. Anthony Bennett, Arya Daivari. Okay, so see, Tozawa's still there. Saez wasn't signed. Bennett wasn't signed. Daivari gone. Kendrick retired.
Andre retired.
Cedric, who is still there. Clement Petit, who I don't remember. Damac.
I don't remember him either.
Damian Slater. I don't know who that is.
What the fuck?
Yep, Drew Gulak is gone. Oh, no, he's still there. I could have sworn still Gulak. I could have sworn Gulak got released.
I thought he did too. What the
fuck? I thought for sure Drew Gulak got released. All right. Hold on. Holy, I'm gonna check this. I'm going to check this. I swear to God, I saw Drew Gulak got released. Oh, okay. He got released last year and then got re-signed last week. or resigned the week later. Like, his contract expired, and then they signed him a new deal. Okay.
Okay, that explains it. Because yeah. I was like,
I definitely I remember seeing swore. Drew Gulak released as a headline.
Holy fuck. More people than I expected, but still.
Yeah, let's see. Wow. Fabian Aichner is still there. Definitely not 203 pounds no more. Graham Metalik is still there. Gervin Harv Sira, the Singh Bros, who I thought were gone. Yeah, they're gone. They were released earlier this year. Ho Ho Loon, who is gone. Who's in fucking Dragon Gate.
Oh, yeah, he's in Dragon Gate. He's with the, yeah. Yeah, I think Jason Lee's there, too.
Jason Lee, also, yeah. Jason Lee's gone. Jack Gallagher, gone. Good riddance.
Thank God.
Johnny Gargano's still there. But he's still in NXT because he doesn't want to go up. Kota Ibushi was in that tournament. Oh, also, Kenneth Johnson, who I don't really remember. Kota Ibushi, who they banked the whole tournament on. The whole tournament with Triple H trying to bring in Kota Ibushi.
Holy fuck. Backfired like completely.
Like, if you look at the way that bracket shook out, it was all set up to do Ibushi and Sabre in the finals. And they definitely wanted to sign both of them, but then neither Holy of them shit. Wanted to.
That was awesome.
Yeah, great move. Lince Dorado, who I forget is signed. Mustafa Ali. Actually, I'm definitely saying that wrong. It's Mustafa Ali. Noam Dar, Noam Dar, who I think is just hanging out at NXT UK because they just don't notice those contracts. Raul Mendoza, still in NXT 5 years later. Rich Swann, who is in Impact. Sean Maluda, who it is fucking weird that they did not sign. Hey, we're doing this Bloodline storyline. Maybe we should bring in more people from this fucking family. The fact that they won't even bring Sean Maluda in for a couple one-offs is weird.
So weird.
TJ Perkins, who is in Impact. Ew. Tajiri, who went home. Ciampa, also still in NXT, doesn't want to move up. Ciampa, I remember reading a thing that Ciampa said he would retire if they tried to move him up.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. Well, he would rather retire than go to SmackDown. Tony Nese, who is gone. Tyson Dukes, who did not sign, because he was too busy going back to Canada to fuck everybody's wife.
Oh my god. Wait, wife that nigga.
You heard about that, right? Tyson Dukes fucking everybody's wives?
Yes.
Yeah, what a guy.
Pretty fucking sick.
Great guy. but yeah, they can't get NXT. Like, I think especially after the Cruiserweight Classic, it was clear that NXT was different than what it was 3 years before. And I think they can't ever get back to that. They can't ever get back to what it was.
That ship has sailed. Full sailed.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, especially because they're supposed to be leaving Full Sail.
Exactly.
Didn't occur to me. They've been taping at the Performance Center for the last year. Their deal with Full Sail is supposed to run out this year, and they are apparently not going to re-sign it, which should be interesting. I ever tell you I got into Full Sail?
I think so.
I got admitted to Full Sail. I just couldn't afford it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Free NXT shows for you.
What's that?
Could have gotten some free NXT shows. I don't know if it would have been worth it.
They were going to give me a fucking free MacBook.
What?
Yeah. Anyway.
That was part of the equation. But yes.
Anyway. NXT, you know, it'll be fine if they go back to, if they go back to that, they'll be fine. It's just like, man, I have no clue what even happens here. Like,
I don't want it to be one of those.
Are they doing anything interesting there?
In WWE?
Yeah, like anything that like really,
I don't know.
I don't think they do anything. Anything's happening on their show that really jumps off the page at me. And that's
did you see this?
It could just not be for me.
Show?
What's up?
You see the end of the? Did you see the end of the show?
Of SmackDown?
Yeah.
I saw Cena came out. I didn't see what happened. I was at work.
Cena came out. They talked. Him and Reigns talked. And then I think Reigns trying to hit a move on Cena, and Cena got off his shoulders and put him in a roll-up. Yeah. And it was supposed to show that he could just pin him and that could be it.
Yes.
But he held him down for one, two, and then scurried off. But Cena played it off like he counted to three. And I was really confused, and a lot happened. So that's Monet's synopsis.
Like, the Cena-Reigns stuff I think is really interesting.
I like Cena, and I love Reigns, so it just works out.
It's cool to revisit this thing they did fucking, what, 3-4 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to revisit that with this new version of Roman's character.
It's ridiculous. I love, from what I've seen, I love
this. I'm really into that. Outside of that, I don't know what's really catching me. Bianca and Sasha going again is cool. I don't know what's next. My assumption is that Becky is coming back tomorrow. Is my big prediction for SummerSlam. Actually, you want to do SummerSlam predictions?
Yes. Do we have the card up?
I can pull it up.
I am so down. I haven't done a wrestling prediction thing in fucking years.
From the Las Vegas suburb of Paradise, Nevada.
Ooh.
So from just a couple miles from where I am sitting. Oh, shit. I just saw what the stipulation for Roman and Cena is. And I'm way more into that.
What is that?
Okay, so let's go from the bottom of the card to the top of the card. AJ Styles and Amos versus Randy Orton and Matt Riddle.
Orton and Riddle, probably.
Orton and Riddle is my guess. I feel like it's kind of time to move on from AJ and Amos. And I'm sure you'll come up with something for them to do, because they're fucking great together, I think. But eventually you have to move from that, especially because I think the move is Amos as a singles guy. Let's see. Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie.
Why? Eva Marie's back, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Eva Marie probably.
I'm gonna go Alexa, because she's got Fiend bullshit. The Fiend is gone.
Oh, that's right. Oh no. Ray's gone. I don't want.
So Alexa is the Fiend now.
I cannot believe they gave her his gimmick.
It's fucked.
Good for Alexa Bliss. I could see her winning, but I think Eva Marie, since she just came back, probably, maybe.
And she wins through bullshit. Either way, whoever wins that match is winning via bullshit. Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal with Jinder's cronies, Veer and Shanky. Barred from ringside. I'm going to say Drew.
I would say Drew as well. Also, I had no fucking idea they had a feud going on between each other.
Yeah, it's only been like since right before Money in the Bank. It's been really fast.
Holy shit.
Drew McIntyre versus, or I just said that, Sheamus versus Damian Priest for the US title.
Which one's Damian Priest?
Punishment Martinez.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What the fuck? When did he show up?
He's been around. He tagged with fucking Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. Yes, the singer Bad Bunny.
Wait. I must have fucking been sleeping under a rock. I did not know any of this was going on.
Bad Bunny hit a Canadian destroyer at WrestleMania.
Oh my god.
Listen, I will give you my Peacock login. Please watch Bad Bunny versus Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and John Morrison. It's legitimately
John Morrison?
Yeah, John Morrison also is also back.
Oh, what the fuck's going
yep.
on?
Yep. I got Priest because they got to give him something.
I can see Priest
big ugly U.S. title. Why not?
I don't know anything. I don't know how Sheamus is doing, but I think Priest should get it.
Yeah. Edge versus Seth Rollins. Edge dumped a bunch of blood on Rollins while the Brood music played tonight. I don't give a shit who wins that match. I win. I'm going to say Edge.
I'm going to say Marcus.
Huh? Did you say Marcus?
I'm going to say Marcus. I don't know who could win that.
Either one of them could really win it. I don't think either of them are hurt by winning it. But I think, why not Edge? Edge, he won the Rumble and basically hasn't won since. Why not?
Just give it to him.
Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. I think they keep the belt on Bianca. I think they know that Bianca is the star.
Yeah, I would keep it on her.
The Usos versus the Mysterios.
Dominic and...
And Rey, yeah.
What the fuck? Really?
Dominic and Rey were tag champs.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, this is... See, I'm missing so much now.
This match is for the SmackDown tag titles. I'm going to say the Usos, because they've been building, from what I've seen on Twitter, because that's the only way I consume the fucking SmackDown now, is people tweeting about it. They basically have been building like tension between Rey and Dominic, where Dominic keeps losing matches because of Rey, like inadvertently. So I figure they lose and then Dominic turns on Rey because they can only tell one story with tag teams.
I was gonna say they only tell one kind of story with tag teams, specifically to Rey Mysterio too.
Bigger Isn't person gets with tired Batista? Of smaller person. That's the
You're
angle.
You're supposed to be my friend.
You're supposed to be my friend. Yeah, that ruled.
That fucking ruled. I would go with my gut was the Mysterios,
mm-hmm.
but I guess we'll do the Usos. I think the Usos will probably.
Plus, they really like this visual of the Usos holding up the tag titles with Roman holding up the.
That's the hottest thing I've heard all week.
It's rad. Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg for the WWE Championship.
Shut the fuck up. Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious.
What the fuck? Where was this 10 years ago?
Yo, where was this in 2008?
What the fuck? I don't know who's going to win. Lashley, probably.
Lashley
will probably win this.
Yeah, I'm going with Lashley.
He's going to fucking murder Goldberg and get that feather in his cap, and that's going to be nice.
Yeah, and then he holds the belt forever. I have no clue who's going to take the belt from Lashley.
Yeah.
Goldberg, but my gut's saying Lashley.
For me, it's like what more does Goldberg have to accomplish? You know, the guy is literally like, you know, he's an icon. We know who Goldberg is.
Goldberg, I'm sure, is content to not win the belt.
Totally.
Nikki A.S.H., formerly known as Nikki Cross. The A.S.H. stands for almost a superhero because she's doing Mighty Molly. That's the gimmick. It was apparently her idea.
That's wild.
It was apparently her idea, and Vince loves it because that means they can sell masks to children.
Hey, if it was her idea and she wants to do it, then more power to her. Good for her.
Her versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's Championship. I think that if Becky is coming back, she's either coming back in this match or she's coming back to do Bianca and Sasha. Really and truly, I don't want to see Becky and Charlotte again. I feel like we've seen that. a million times.
Yes.
I think the new, fresh, hot thing is her versus Bianca. Plus, with them doing shows again on the road, I can absolutely see them not wanting to separate her and Seth. So, since Seth is on SmackDown, I'm going to say Becky is going to show up in the Bianca-Sasha match. I think Nikki backdoors this and sneaks out a win, which is basically what they've been doing like with this character, which is that like you think you got her, and then holy shit, she beat me. What happened? What happened? Where did she go?
Almost a superhero.
Almost a superhero. And they always call her Nikki A-S-H. They don't want you to call her Nikki Ash, which is a better name.
Nikki Ash sounds awesome.
Nikki Ash is a great name. It sounds like a fucking hair metal band.
What was he going to say?
I think Nikki will pin Rhea and steal the win.
Yep.
I think sounds about right. Charlotte has her in the figure four, or the and is bridging up to the figure eight. Nikki will sneak in and grab the pin.
Yep.
One, two, three, shoulders down. The main event of the evening. WWE Universal Championship on the line. Roman Reigns versus John Cena. If Reigns loses, he leaves WWE. So there's no way he loses this match, right?
So you're saying Roman's going to win. That's
yes, in a Roman wins match.
In a Roman wins match. That's it, though. That's it.
And you know what? It'll be great.
It's gonna be a fucking awesome match. I think I might tune in for that one. I still have to watch Kenny versus Christian, but like
Kenny versus Christian was great.
I need to fucking watch it. I need to watch it. We're gonna have another great title match with this, I think. I think it's gonna be great. No way fucking Cena's winning. He's gonna probably be around a little bit longer and then he's gonna probably leave again. And,
I think he gets number 17. I just don't think he gets it off of Reigns. I think between the two of them, he's more likely to get it off of Lashley.
I could see him getting it off Lashley, and I don't see him doing it until like Survivor Series or like somewhere later in the year. I could see that because that'd be a nice little match to have, you know, later in the year.
Yeah.
Lashley and Cena.
Well, because they only had the one match.
Yes.
It was at the Great American Bash in 2006, I think.
Like, yep.
And they.
Sounds about right.
They only had the one match, and Cena won. I think. I think that if they're going to do it with Cena, that's where you do it.
Exactly.
But we said we were going to go half an hour with wrestling talk. It has been 58 minutes.
That's fantastic, though.
I told you we were going to go long. I told you that. Before we started, Monet was like, hey, let's try and keep it to an hour. I said, there's no way that happens.
You said if we go to 2 hours, I'm going to lose it.
Okay, so let's get into the other part of what we wanted to talk about.
Oh, hell yes.
So, I finished season 2.
I did not. I am nearly to the end of season 1. It was a long week. A lot happened. I tried to get as much in as possible, and I literally finished episode 8 and then went on call with you.
How many episodes of season 1? Because I watched season 1.
Episode, how many? I think it's like 13 or something. Like 12?
Season 1 is longer than season 2. I watched season 1 when it came out. So there's a lot about season 1 I don't necessarily remember.
I see. It's 12 episodes for season 1 and 12 episodes for season 2.
Okay.
Now, we have a lot to talk about.
We're talking about Beastars, by the way.
Wow. I did not
expect... This show is fucked. This show is so fucked.
Okay, here's the thing, right? the thing that keeps me going with this up until episode, I think, 7, I was a little weirded out by the ending there. I was like, oh, okay, I don't know how I feel about you now. But up until the end of episode 7, I was like, okay, now, if there was any other main character, I'd probably not watch this.
Lugoshi is such a good protagonist.
He's such a great... Because I just... Okay, at this point, for me, I know that a lot of, like, through both our shared perspective of Lugoshi and us, we're supposed to have this shared emotional connection when it comes to Hao, right? Like, we're supposed to have, like, a solid...
Are you watching in English or are you watching in Japanese?
Watching in Japanese.
Okay. Because you called her Hao earlier, and I was like, what the fuck? Oh, right, that's how they subtitle it. Her name is Haru.
Haru?
Haru.
What the...
Yeah.
Haru.
Yeah.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Haru. Now, here's the thing. I always thought that was weird. I was like, is that supposed to be, like, some sort of... Supposed to be named after some sort of rabbit species or something? I'm so confused. But for me, it's like... Whether he, like, gets together with her or not, and he's able to overcome, like, these tendencies that he has as a carnivore, regardless of all that, I just want him to be okay.
Yeah.
I just want him to, like, relax. And, like, that was the first thing that stuck out at me. Because obviously I watched the first two episodes, I think, 6 months ago, and I was like, I don't think I want to do this.
Yeah, okay, and you... so I had to really power through it. Because it's hard to... The show is furry bait. The show is such...
Oh, yeah. It's heavy, too.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we're in episode 2. And Haru is stripping.
The worst part, so you're watching Japanese, so you didn't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
Watching it in English, because the ADHD, it makes it hard to focus.
Yes.
So things being in English makes it easier for me to consume it, because then I can do something else with my hands or with my eyes. So, like, I'll draw while I watch something. Haru... in English is voiced by Laura Jill Miller.
Shut the fuck up. Really?
Who voices... I want to run through some of the characters. Voiced by Laura Jill Miller. Stop me when it gets weird.
Oh my god, no.
She voices Juniper Lee.
Mm-hmm.
She voices... assorted characters in the 2016 Powerpuff Girls.
Yep.
A couple different characters in the original Powerpuff Girls. She voices Kelly in Megas XLR.
Yes.
She's a few different characters in Winx Club. Let's go up to the anime. She voices Matsuri in Naruto. She voices Coco in Zatch Bell. She voices... Hall in Rave Master. She voices...
What the fuck? It's all four kids.
She voices Tachikoma in Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex. And most notably, to people our age, she voices Kari Kamiya in Digimon Adventure O2.
Shut the front door. Holy shit. This is why you gotta start watching dubs again.
She voices Kari Kamiya, Tai's little sister, holder of the Crest of Light, in Digimon Adventure 02.
That was probably really fucking jarring for you then.
It's... so fucking weird.
Oh my god.
When she asks Legoshi, are you going to make love to me?
Oh man.
And all I hear is Kari. I wanted to die.
When she says that he's the first carnivore she's ever been with.
When she starts taking off her fucking clothes and all I hear is Kari. I want to die. I want to die. It's so...
Oh, no. You're on that X Games mode.
It's so...
I can't. See, that's the thing. I didn't watch a lot of Digimon. But...
I've seen... I think 4 out of 6 seasons that came to America. I haven't seen... the new version of Digimon Adventure, and I haven't seen the Tri movies because I didn't really want to. Because it's all just, hey, remember Adventure? Remember 99? Please ignore 02, which I actually really like. Like, the new Digimon stuff is all just begging you to ignore everything that happened after Adventure.
That's ridiculous.
It's like, all that shit isn't real. Get the shit out of here. Ignore that.
I love retcons like that.
It's like that shit happened, but it doesn't matter. Like, in the beginning of Try, the 02 cast get their asses kicked. Like, you don't even see them, you just see their shadows getting their asses whooped.
Holy shit.
Like, so it's, I've consumed a lot of Digimon. It is so weird hearing, because she's the only one I really ever hear in anything.
Like, yeah.
Let's see. Who voices? Well, I mean, so TK is voiced by Wendy Lee, who I've heard in other things, but I heard her as like Alpha in Power Rangers.
Yes.
Mona Marshall, who I don't think I've seen in anything else. She plays young Haku in Naruto. And that's like... Oh, she voices Plue in Rave Master. You know what she says in Rave Master? You know what all her lines are in Rave Master?
What's her lines in Rave Master? I said Rain Master.
In Rave Master, the entirety of her lines are Plue! Plue!
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious. Joe Kido is voiced by Michael Lindsay. Who plays Urahara in Bleach, which I actually did start watching, finally. After years of only ever seeing a few episodes. He plays Konkuro.
I'm sorry. No, we're not doing this. You're stopping me. You haven't watched Bleach?
Not all the way through.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Okay, so what
happened? I've known you how long?
Huh?
I've known you how long? I thought you watched a lot of Bleach.
9 years we've known each other? Yeah, I've never seen Bleach all the way through. Check it out.
I would watch
Bleach when it aired on Toonami, but it seemed like I always caught the same like 4 episodes. So I've seen
rewatching it.
Was that? Huh?
I started rewatching it. That's why I'm like, let's go.
So I think I've seen like the middle part of Waco Mundo like a half dozen times.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right for Toonami.
Yeah, so I think Michael Lindsay, who I do know because he plays Amuro in the Gundam compilation movies, not in the original Gundam, but he does play him in the compilation movies. TK, who is now voiced by Johnny Young Bosch.
Oh, try. Fuck yes. Fuck yes.
Sora, who is voiced by Colleen O'Shaughnessy. Okay, so I know her. I guess it's never clicked in my head when I hear her voice in other things. Outside of, I'm pretty sure, yes, she plays Jazz in Danny Phantom, which is the...
Really?
Yeah, that's the only other thing I've seen her in where her voice stands out as being like, oh, I know her from this. Oh, also she voices fucking Selah in Gun of the Origin, which I'm realizing as I say that I've never seen in English. I've only seen that in Japanese.
Holy shit.
And she voices Ino in Naruto. But I think I just got used to hearing her voice in a lot of things that I never really noticed it when I saw it in other things.
Oh my god. You being able to recognize all these English voice actors is ridiculous.
Oh, that's my superpower.
I can only remember Johnny Young Bosch, Dan Southworth.
So you know the Devil May Cry cast?
Yeah, I know the whole Devil May Cry cast. That's about it. I know Ruben Langdon. I know what he sounds like. He doesn't do anything else besides
He voices Ken in Street Fighter.
Shut the fuck up. Really?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, yep. No, I don't know how you can do this, but I'm sorry you had to deal with that jarring experience. That does not sound fun at all.
Oh, it's hell. It's hell every time she talks, because it's only when she talks that I'm just like, oh, right, you're voiced by fucking
Kari. That's awful. See, I've been watching the subtitle version, and I thankfully haven't had to experience that, but also I do want to hear the dub now. You've made me want to. Maybe for episode 9 I will, from that point on, I'll just watch the dub. It'll be jarring, but I can do it.
Yeah, you should go back and watch a dub, because it's weird.
Let's talk about some of these characters.
Yes.
Because I love so many of them.
Who is your favorite?
I think my favorite... How do you pronounce the deer fella?
Louis.
Louis. Okay. Because
they subtitle it with the R. That's where it's tricky. Where you're getting confused is the subtitles.
I was like, shout out to Ruiz. This man's ridiculous. Louis is absolutely ridiculous. I think he's a lot of fun.
It might be Louis, and I'm just remembering it wrong. I think it's Louis or Louis.
Either or is fine with me.
No, yeah, because they pronounce it Louis. So it's Louis.
Yeah, I like Louis. God, what else? I like the little dog friend that Legoshi has.
Oh, Jack.
Yeah.
Jack's great.
He's so great. He's so supportive. He finds the fucking rabbit porn magazine and he's like, he has the fucking like the most natural meltdown a best friend could ever have when finding something that awful, and then he's still super supportive and it's like, so I don't want to like bother you about this. How long have we been friends though?
It's like Jack found his fucking white girl porn. That's
literally. Literally.
Imagine being black in the 70s, right? So we're black. We can just imagine us, but in the 70s. Imagine you come over. We're having we're talking. We're shooting the shit, and then you see I got a fucking issue of Playboy with fucking Farrah Fawcett on the cover. Hey. What's happening here?
So we've been friends for a long time, Marcus. What is this? I just wanted a comic book. Oh my god. No, 1%? 2%?
2% milk? Oat milk? Silk?
You got the half and half, son. You gotta relax on it. Just cool it for... Got too much dip on your chip.
Yeah, too much.
That's all.
Too much. Drinking too much milk.
Oh my god, but that's how it was.
Yes.
And it's so fucking funny how he's couching it and then gets a swift good fucking kick to the face.
Yes.
It's just I love his character a lot. He's because he's immensely supportive. He can see right through Legoshi.
Yes.
Like, especially after the...
forever, so he's like, you're full of shit right now.
Yeah, it's like fucking. I'm calling you out. You're a horrible liar. I didn't teach you to lie. That's why you're bad at it.
How do you feel about Bill?
Oh, he's weird. It's hard. It's hard with Bill because I don't know. He's very much a lot. He's a fucking dickhead. And I think that's where I'm at with him right now.
Mm-hmm.
When he first showed up, I was interested, you know? But
Bill
like
does get more interesting, I think, through season two.
Through season two? Okay. All right, because I just passed the part where they're at the black market. And spoilers, by the way, for Beastars. I don't know.
Spoilers for season one of Beastars. It's mostly going to be season one spoilers because you have not watched season two, so
I've not
to
watched it.
Season two discussion as light as possible.
Oh yes, by the end of this weekend, I will be fucking done with Beastars because I'm watching more of it after.
It's so easy
podcast.
To just power through.
It's 20 minutes each. It's fucking 12 episodes. It's so easy. It's so easy. But I'm glad to hear that about Bill because I...
Like, he has one really good moment with one of the herbivore students in season two. And it's just like, okay, this character is set. Got it. I understand this person now.
I love that. I love that. Because I literally, like, I'm like, this guy can't be this much of an asshole. Like, he can't be, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't. Like, I feel like he could totally, like, turn it around at any moment, but he just, like, always, like, goes to, I'm an asshole.
Yes.
Especially the play. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. He's...
That floored me. No pun intended for...
Oh, yeah. For when Legoshi whoops his ass.
Oh my God. Like Louis obviously coming in, you know, coming in clutch, coming in to make the save.
Yeah.
Good for him. But that was like a big
And then just improving the rest of the show.
Improving the rest of the show, you know. Don't let anyone see your back for the love of God. Alright. That whole sequence, that whole like situation was just fucking out of this world. But when it comes to Bill, I'm not too sure about him yet. Not too sure about him yet.
Yeah,
I'm pulling for him. But
one thing that I think helps Beastars is a lot of shows that do the a lot of just media properties that do the minority metaphor miss the mark because everyone is kind of neatly divided into. All right, these are the bad minorities. These are the good minorities. You know, there is no spectrum.
Yep.
So, like, for example, a lot of shows that will introduce gay characters, if you're lucky enough to have two, one of them it will be, like, totally straight-laced, like a monogamous, like, you know, loves their family, and the other... is like the biggest slut in the world. Invariably, this is what they do.
Yes.
Shows that will have two black characters. Like if you and I were characters in a TV show, you as the lighter skinned person would be depicted as softer, kinder, what have you.
Yep.
And I
9 times out of 10 always would, like,
be either extremely aggressive or the comic relief.
Or the villain.
Yes, I'd be like, but they most likely I'd be like the macho womanizer character.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are the two kinds of black people that exist in a show where there are two black people. Obviously, there are exceptions to this. But by and large, this is the way this works. This is what happens, typically.
Exactly, exactly. They're just exceptions.
Right. So the thing that Beastars does really well, because they absolutely, they're doing, like, it drew a lot of comparisons to Zootopia, because...
I was going to mention Zootopia.
Zootopia is actually a good example of the reverse. Or of the those things I was saying. But like Beastars, mm-hmm. because you have so many characters who have their own distinct personalities and distinct, like, they're just things about them that make them who, like, that make them different and make them unique. Everybody fills in, everybody fills in their own kind of spot in the spectrum. Like,
yes.
You've already been introduced to Juno, right?
Yes, I was just, past two episodes, yes, I was introduced to Juno. I really wanted to talk about her a little bit, too.
Yeah, okay, because, like, Juno is, like, the anti-Legoshi because her personality is so similar to Louis.
Yep.
Which makes her, like, this fascinating character because she isn't like... Not to say she's not like most girls. She's not like most carnivores. But her and Legoshi. Legoshi, quiet, to himself. Not really particularly confident. Whereas Juno, ambitious, very confident, wants the spotlight on her. But then you her against Bill, who is similarly ambitious, wants the attention, but is way less refined. And then you compare Bill to Jack, where Jack is, he's very friendly, he's very outgoing, he's very similar to Tem, who is an herbivore. Like, the thing that I think they nail really well is that the carnivores and the herbivores, there are people with similar personalities on both sides of it. So it's not like all carnivores are like this, and all carnivores are like grr, and all herbivores are like, oh no, you know, like
yeah.
There are herbivores that are kind of dicks, like the rabbit girl with the Harlequin rabbit.
Oh my god, the fucking Harlequin rabbit is such a bitch.
She's such a bitch. She's so mean for no reason.
She was fucking cute, like fucking with Haru with her friends. I was like, fucking just like. Leave her alone. Get a job.
Get a job! Leave her alone!
Get a job. Louis is a big example of what you're talking about as well. He does not like being seen as prey. He does not like being seen as weak. He doesn't want to be.
You will see me as big as I want you to see me.
Exactly. He's fucking so engaging. I love Louis' character a lot.
I am not who you... think I am. I am nobody's prey. I am nobody's victim. I am the man.
Period. That's it.
Louis is fucking Ric Flair. Like he's
he's literally
he's the man.
I bet you Ric Flair was hiding a lot of really awful injuries while he was performing.
Almost definitely.
Oh, fucking literally, I mean, I'm a wrestler, but like with Louis, where it's like it, like he's hurting, but when everyone's else watching, he's not hurting. That's not what's happening. He does pass out, but we're gonna avoid that.
So you wanted to talk some more about Juno.
Juno, I got to the last part of episode 8, mm-hmm. and it's when Haru runs up to Legoshi because there's a power outage, and she runs to Legoshi, and she's like, "Louis, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here." And pain just like seeps through me in this entire scene because the lights go back on. She realizes she's not holding on to Louis; she's holding on to Legoshi, and she's like, "I am." She's just apologizing the whole fucking time, and Louis is just trying, or not Louis, but Legoshi is trying to just like act naturally. Oh, this is, no, you're fine. It's cool. Here, clean yourself off. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And you're probably wondering where is this going. Literally at the very end, her name's Juno, right?
Yes.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Juno is watching this all unfold and is like, oh my fucking god, are you serious? Mainly because she has her eyes set on Juno. She's yes. being immensely, I hit my mic. She's being so absolutely, like, forward. And you mentioned,
oh,
like,
you mean
how
towards
Legoshi. I mean, to some extent, everybody, but specifically to Legoshi, she's paying special attention to him.
Yes.
And we do find out why in that episode. And it just goes kind of back to what you're saying, where not every carnivore is the same. You have Legoshi being just very quiet to himself, and you have Juno, who is making strides to have some sort of social standing, even right. though she's new, you know, stuff like that, trying
she's
to be more
to
outgoing. Absolutely, especially when she says that she's late and everyone's crowding around her, and she's like, oh, I had to help someone up, and I'm like, oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet, Juno. You're so nice. For me, though, when she declared to Louis that she's going to be the next B-Star, I was absolutely hooked. And I think at this point in the show, I'm fucking super interested to see where she, like, what she does, where she goes, because I'm so interested.
I think that she rules. Like,
fucking, she, oh god,
I'm gonna say sincerely, like, as spoiler free as possible. Like, this is such a minor spoiler, but I need to tell you about it. It's so funny. Sincerely, one of the funniest things that happens in this whole show is there's a season 2 episode where Legoshi is still looking for, he's looking for answers. And so
yes.
he asks Juno,
oh my
hey,
god,
can you meet me in the cafeteria just by yourself? I need to talk to you about something that's really important. And so she's like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh shit.
oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yes.
The boy wants to talk to me. And he goes, he's like, he meets her there. He sits down at the table. He's like, hey, cool. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Can I see inside your mouth?
Whoa. Whoa.
Can I see inside your mouth?
She's oh my
like,
god.
What? He's like, it's important. It's for research. I'm studying. He's studying. He's studying other carnivores' fangs.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, hey, you're the only female wolf that, like, I'm close with. So I need a favor. I need to look at the differences between, like, your fangs and my fangs. And I'm gonna send you the image.
Oh my god.
It's so
now,
fucked.
One of my fucking favorite things about her too is that she does have a tendency to go overboard.
Yep. Yes.
Very fucking quickly. And it's my
it's
favorite.
It's like a reminder, this is a 16-year-old girl.
I was gonna say, I'm like, you really I'm so sorry. I'm like, I understand, you know. I've been 16 before. I've been down bad before, but that's not the route you want to go sometimes.
Please,
you know,
look,
you want
to. I just sent it to you in the Discord.
Oh, I see it. Oh, I see it. Because it reminds me of when he helps her dance.
Yes!
Helps with
the
dance.
She
and
gets
and
so
she's like,
carried away because she's so she's like, please, like, oh, she, please fuck me!
Yeah.
Please!
Like,
just fuck me! Please! God damn it!
And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then someone shows up and she's just like, I literally just made a fucking fool of myself.
Yes. And then it happens again after this, where she's sitting there, she's like, why do I keep letting him do this to me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do I keep making him make me look like an idiot?
Oh my
god. In front of people.
I was hoping this. I was hoping that's where you were going with this. I was hoping it was like, she just goes fucking overboard. She's so down bad that she's like,
Juno,
hey, what's
goes
up?
Goes back to her room, stares at a picture of Legoshi, and listens to Mia's "So Into You" on repeat.
Oh my god, that's like a scary level of.
Her roommate comes in and just in the middle of the chorus, she's just, "I really like what you've done to me," and then her roommate's like backing out. She's like, "I can't explain it. I'm so into you," like, just, and then this the door shuts, like.
No! Oh my god.
You got anything to add? Because that feels like a good place to end that.
I feel like it's a wonderful place that I feel like everyone should watch.
Watch fucking Beastars. I know.
Well, not necessarily. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Watch the first two episodes.
First two or three episodes. Because it is interesting. Because the show is it's doing the, hey, this is a metaphor for for real life oppression.
Yes.
It is very much doing that. But I will say that it being a whodunit is a, I think that is a big upgrade.
Absolutely.
I think that they, the way that that story is handled and the way that they interweave everything of just like, all right, so what's going on here? How do we make this work with these two characters or with all these characters trying to figure out who did this, but specifically with Legoshi trying to figure out who did this.
You know? Exactly. It's really, really awesome to see. I like the romance aspect of it too.
Yes,
you know,
it's,
I think,
also a very fucking rom-com.
It's a lot of fun. It's when it does try to take itself seriously, it comes at it in a very at a very cerebral mindset, because like you're going a lot. It's like in every anime, you do on some level go into the character's head. Yeah. But I feel like it's a great example of when you go into a character's head, it reflects their specific risk. So like when you go into Legoshi's head, it's so manic and all over the place.
Yes.
And he is constantly questioning himself. And then you go toward, oh yeah, go ahead.
The thing that is established right away is that Legoshi does not want anybody but Haru. Haru is the first person he has like ever really been into this way.
Exactly. And Haru, like her mindset, you know, she's just very
her
much
mind,
like.
And this is something that kind of expands in season two, but in season one, it's kind of hard to get a sense of how Haru feels about Legoshi. Like she very clearly cares about him.
Yes.
But a lot of it, and it helps that you're seeing this through his lens. Everything is from his perspective, so it's hard to tell how much of it is her curiosity about what, because she is a very sexual person.
Yes.
Like, you know, she had a relationship with Louis. She's had relationships with other herbivores at the school. So how much of it is her own sexual curiosity about Legoshi and about what sleeping with a carnivore would be like, and her
exactly
own kind of animal instincts? How much of it is that, and how much of it is, no, she has real feelings for this guy?
And that's the same thing with Legoshi, only it's his predatory nature of, you know,
yeah,
him trying to handle that those instincts, trying to rein them in and figure out, okay,
how am much I... of it is that I love this girl,
mm-hmm.
and how much of it is I want to eat her alive.
Yeah. And that's one of my favorite things about the show, is that, like, you have these little moments of him grappling this kind of thing, and slightly less so with Haru. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because I haven't watched all of season two yet, but the fact that it's in that firm direction of her sexual curiosity versus her actual, like, love for Legoshi. I just love that Legoshi is such a great character already, that you want to see him figure it out, you know, not just like the murder or anything, but you want him to figure out what he has to deal with and finally pin it down. And right. Hopefully it's
him
not
a hold, him figuring out himself.
Exactly. It's self-discovery, and it's so nice to see, because if it were any of, like I said before, if it were like a different character who was like even like remotely confident in themselves, I probably wouldn't feel it.
Yeah.
But it's seeing him get to that level bit mm-hmm. by bit. And I love it. I think everyone should at least give Beastars a try.
Yeah. It's on not Netflix. For nothing. I think I try not to put too much stock in this because I know that people go overboard with it. But I think a lot of the interpersonal stuff in Beastars is helped by the fact that the mangaka is a woman. I think if your story is going to heavily feature romance as an angle, and romance in this way where it is romance that makes these people turn in on themselves and figure out themselves as people, I think that historically speaking, women tend to have a unique perspective on that. Like, because I can't end this show without talking about the X-Men. In Excalibur, which is written by the current run of Excalibur, written by Tini Howard, the stuff with Gambit and Rogue is really interesting, because Gambit's just a fucking wife guy now.
Really?
Yes. Like, Gambit That's has essentially awesome. Been written by women primarily for the last 10 years, and it's been the most interesting stuff that has ever happened with this character.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that.
Because they've put his relationship with Rogue and how he feels about Rogue kind of first. And, I think women typically have a much different perspective on things like this, especially like women in these creative fields, I think have really, really good perspectives on these things. And that's how you get... Like, if you think of, like, your famous or your favorite, like, especially with anime and manga, like, Ed and Winry from Fullmetal Alchemist.
I was going to say, that's super healthy. Like,
yeah. Roy and Hawkeye. And then, stuff like that. Written by...
The way Mace Hughes treats his wife.
The way Mace Hughes treats his wife. Yeah. It's different than, I think, the way a lot of men... Right, relationships, where a lot of relationships, they are not about, a lot of relationships written by men are not about the partnership and the love of the individuals. The relationships almost feel secondary.
Yes.
Like, they feel like an accessory to the person instead of this thing that the person loves and cares about, the relationship and the other person. And not to say men can't write romantic relationships. One of my favorite relationships ever in comics is Tim Drake and Stephanie Brown, as written by John Lewis? Yes. I had to look over at the comic that's on my wall. I always forget if Lewis is the writer or the artist. But the John Lewis Pete Woods relationship, like their run on Robin and the way they depict Tim and Stephanie's relationship, is one of my favorite. Is one of my favorites ever. Speaking of Tim, actually, we'll end on this. You see that DC had Tim Drake go on a date with a guy?
I sure did.
That's
it's the end of everything, Marcus. Do you not realize?
I didn't see them letting that happen coming. Like, I figure it's the end of everything. It's the end of culture. It's the end of civilization.
First, they got Star Trek.
They got Star Trek and Star Wars.
And Avatar The Last Airbender, too. You can't forget that one.
What? Okay, wait, hold on. What do you mean by
that? Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, right. I completely forgot about, like...
Don't you know about Avatar The Last Airbender?
And how it was... No, I just didn't know what you meant specifically.
Oh, no, I gotcha. I'm just saying shit at this point, guy.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that somebody... I want to talk about this really quick and we'll get out of here.
No, of course.
I can remember, and this is just something that's kind of come to my attention recently, is kind of people look, there are two sides of people being weird when relationships are depicted, like when gay relationships are depicted in things.
Yeah.
So like there are... Obviously, the fucking super weirdos who are like, "You've ruined Batman. You've ruined Batman by allowing his sidekick to go on a date with a boy. It's the gay agenda. You're trying to make all my children gay." When it's like,
I love
no,
that
we're
voice, by the way.
I don't know what voice it is, but it does turn into Double D at the end.
I was gonna say.
Horny people have no rights. If you are horny, I will find you and arrest you. But, like,
Oh my god, that was beautiful.
Tim is a character who has... Fans of this character have always read as being bisexual. It took me a long time to come around to that, but I had some shit to work out. I think now my big hang-up is I don't want him to not be with Stephanie.
Oh my god,
together.
Right.
I love them together so much. It's weird for them to not be together for me. But, like, a lot of those relationships, you get the weirdos who are just, like, acting like it is the end of the world that this property that they don't care about has a character who might like someone of the same sex. Like, doesn't matter that
absolutely
much to you. Who cares? Like,
and that's my thing. Like, you have these people who are complaining, probably don't follow like these comics anyway. You know,
yes. A lot of these people could not tell me the difference between Tim Drake and Dick Grayson.
They definitely can't when they keep posting pictures of fucking Dick Grayson.
Oh my god, there were some that were Jason. I was like, you know that's not
are
this character.
Kidding me.
It's like, you can use a picture that's not 50 years old, right? There's a lot of pictures of the character that this actually is.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are pictures that were Dick from fucking Batman the Animated Series.
I know, I was looking at that shit. I saw one with Nightwing.
Yes, it's just like, man.
I was like, what the fuck? So off base.
That's not who that is.
No, it's not.
It literally says on the page... I'm going to find the panel. I'm going to find the exact panel.
My name is Dick Grayson.
No, the exact panel where Tim... Okay. So Bernard, Tim's childhood friend, says, "Tim, hi. I'm glad you're here. I wanted to say... Because Bernard let me talk. I'm really glad you got home okay. I was relieved. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about that night, and I don't know what it meant to me. Not yet. But I'd like to figure it out. I was hoping you would. Tim Drake, do you want to go out on a date with me? Yeah. Yeah, I think I want that." Ooh. He says his name twice on this page!
What the
Why did you not just Google Tim Drake?
Because that'd be too much. Didn't you type in Robin Batman and just fucking take like the first three? I literally looked and it was like the first three or four
results,
like,
for Robin Batman. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I type Tim Drake Robin, in the first result is a recent picture of Tim.
Oh my God.
One, two, three. Every one of these is a, or the three of the first five results are pictures of Tim from the last year.
What the hell?
Anyway.
Tim Drake's bi.
Tim Drake is bi. And
celebrate it. I'm sorry. Sorry. I get heated about bisexuals.
Yeah. I would like to just say, so I wanted to get back to that point I was making before. There are the people who are weird about it, who pretend that they give a shit, because it helps fuel the culture war, and also because big homophobia. There's also people who, with everything, that either act like it's not good enough or look at something now that is great and use it to reflect poorly upon the point in time where characters were not allowed to be depicted this way.
Yeah.
Because, like, someone made the point the other day, and I'm not saying this point is incorrect, but I am saying that the point is maybe ill-advised. And the point they were making was that it's easier for a person who is looking for LGBT representation in comic or in like media to look at manga it is easier for them to look at that in manga than it is to look at it in comics. Because in manga, you get these really fully fleshed out relationships. Whereas with comics, it's really limited. A lot of it is very limited. And that is because until the last decade, comics characters in Western comics weren't allowed to be explicitly, textually, not straight. Writers tried for 30 years or for 20 years to make Iceman to let Iceman come out.
Holy shit, really?
Yes. Writers were trying in the early 90s to have Iceman come out. There's a scene where there's an issue of X-Men where Iceman and Emma Frost switch bodies, I think. Either they switch bodies or Emma takes over his body or whatever. Emma is using his powers better than he ever could. And he's like, hey, can you fucking teach me how to do that? And she's like, oh, that power was always in you. You need to be honest with yourself, is how she puts it.
Yeah.
You just need to be honest with yourself and it'll be easier. And to steal a point from Cerebro, a podcast much better than this one, frankly, about the X-Men. All of Iceman's love interests are like quote unquote safe.
Yeah.
They are women he can bring home to his mom and dad, therefore they won't question him. So it's like, and also Polaris, who they describe as being, it's like, hey, look, every gay man in the world wants to date Polaris. Dating Polaris is gay. The two that he's kind of associated with are Rogue and Kitty Pryde. Rogue, who he can't touch. And Kitty, who is like your quintessential like girl next door in type. So you can always just like hang out with Kitty. Everyone wants to date Kitty. And then his other one is Mystique, who can be whoever you want her to be.
To whom, my Mystique, God.
To whom gender is not like an object. Because she shifts between being a man and being a woman all the time.
Holy shit.
Right. Writers tried for 20 years to out Iceman. And they were not allowed to. Because in the 80s, it was a rule explicitly. Jim Shooter said, nobody in the Marvel Universe is gay.
What the fuck?
Like, in the 80s, characters just were not gay. Characters could not be gay in American comic books as recently as 40 years ago. Then in the 90s, you could have a gay character, but it wasn't allowed to be a protagonist.
Little right? Side character.
Right, like Richie or Rick in the comics from Static is gay.
Yes. Which I had no idea up until you told me recently.
Right. Right. Richie is gay, but you can't show that in the TV show. Like you can.
No.
So in the 90s, it became you could have a side character, but you couldn't put it on TV. In the 2000s, you could have like a side character, but you couldn't put it on TV. Or you could put it on TV, but it could be a side character. And it's only been in the last 7 years that you can do that on TV. Which brings me to my other thing, which is that people say, oh, you can look at shows now, like I think the exact example they used was The Owl House, which I've never watched, but I know that the main character is a lesbian. And yes. It's like a show like this can say, well, it's crazy that you know, the Owl House will just say, have these two characters say, my girlfriend, but Steven Universe had to dance. Steven Universe danced around it. It's like, yeah, because they had to.
Yep.
Because they didn't have a choice. They came up with an elaborate metaphor for personal intimacy.
Wasn't it like fusing crystals? Yes. Or something. Yeah. Like that?
Gem fusion is like it's a metaphor for just the it evolves to broadly be the closeness between two people. But then you have characters like Garnet who are permanently fused. Because Garnet's two parts, Ruby and Sapphire, love each other and want to be love each other so much that they want to be one person together forever.
Literally, she's a walking
metaphor for their love.
I love that. I love that.
Because they had to. 2013, 2014, you couldn't really do that. 2014,
yep.
You get Legend of Korra doing it with Korra and Asami, which was all subtext. It is all subtext until the end.
Which I loved. I loved that they just they threw that in at the last like.
But that's
last
the, all they could put in. Like they wanted
it,
to
yeah.
do more. But they couldn't. Like I'm sure if it was up to them, they would have started dating earlier in the show. Or you would have gotten more than that 2 seconds of them together. But that's all they were allowed to do. So yeah, things are allowed to progress now to a point where Tim Drake, a Batman, like a main character of the Batman mythos, a character who is important to the history of Batman, gets to say to his friend Bernard, who I forgot until right now, was a character in his old stuff.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah. He was a friend of Tim's at of course, because he's his first appearance is in the era of Robin that I don't particularly care for. He appears during Bill Willingham's run. He's only around for a few issues, but he is a character who already existed, and so bringing him back and being like, "Hey, this is having Tim go, yeah, I want to go on a date with you. This is something you couldn't do with this character 20 years ago.
Not at all. I can't even imagine. I honestly couldn't imagine, anything like that. Could you imagine, I'm trying to think of, some sort of, major Marvel event where, you have a gay character being featured prominently, 15 years ago.
Right.
During Civil War, could you imagine, I don't know, someone coming out as gay? In the middle of that, in a tie-in book or some shit.
Yeah.
And
guess what? They would have done it with a character nobody would notice if they didn't
fucking
put in there.
Literally one of the random rookie characters.
Right. They would have done it with fucking Speedball.
I was gonna say Speedball. I was holding off, but I was gonna say Speedball. I can't imagine that shit. Even for a minor character like Speedball, I can't imagine. So yeah. This is groundbreaking.
It's
for
a
so
big
many
deal.
Reasons.
And I get that to some people it's not enough. And I understand that. But please understand that when Tim was created in 1989, they couldn't have done this with him. When Tim was probably at his most popular in the late 90s, early 2000s, they couldn't have done something like this with his character. Even when they rebooted everything, they weren't. Their idea of how to update the character of Tim Drake in 2013 was to make him, to have him get possessed by Trigon and become a horny weirdo at all of his friends. He's like fucking Wonder Girl and he's fucking Solstice.
Holy shit.
Yes, it stunk. It was a terrible storyline. This is an update that makes sense to this character, and I don't know. It's not saying, accept the scraps, but please understand that the creators want to tell the stories that you are trying to read. The people who are writing and drawing these books want to tell the stories that you want to read, but they are subject to a ton of external forces. I just recently listened to an interview with Fabian Nicieza, who famously wrote a lot of X-Men stories. He wrote the X-Men for a while. He co-created Deadpool. He wrote Robin for a while. He wrote my second favorite issue of the old Robin solo series. He wrote the last issue of that, which features my favorite bit of narration ever, which is Tim's "What do you do when you might die in the morning?" speech.
I
love that speech. It's great.
You're gonna have to send that to me.
Yes, it is in Robin number 183, but I will send the specific pages to you. Fabian Nicieza talked about how he wanted to do a storyline where Nomad got HIV, and he pitched it. His editor liked it. The editor in chief liked it. The president of the company, everybody at Marvel, said, "Yeah, do that. That sounds like you have a really good idea." Because this is 1993, I think, in 1993, 1994. So it's still, AIDS is still a crisis.
Yeah,
it's not doing it now. You know? So this is, he wanted to do this story because he knew it meant something. And everyone at Marvel was on board with it, But then external forces, investors, whatever, were like, no.
Fucking,
We're like, no, you can't do this. We can't. What are you going to do? Have one of our characters have AIDS? What? It's like, we had a character. We had Captain Marvel got cancer and died a few years ago. What's the problem? And so it was like, well, you can have this side character do it, but you can't do it with him. Which I think that also happened with DC, where they did an HIV storyline. They did a drug storyline, like someone becomes a heroin addict and someone else has HIV. And they did both of those with Green Arrow sidekicks.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, wow.
Roy Harper.
Oh, wow.
Roy Harper develops a heroin addiction, I want to say in the 70s. It might have been later than that. But I know that Roy Harper developed a heroin addiction, and then Mia, the second Speedy, she's a character who has HIV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did that twice. But it was... If this was 1991 instead of 2021, those handcuffs on the writers would be even tighter. And so, I'm not saying anybody should just accept this as it is, but understand that the writers are probably as frustrated as you are.
Yep, because they're probably fucking held on a short leash, especially...
Right.
Especially, like, when it comes to writers and everything like that. They just... People like to hold control of them. Because writers, like, there are some writers who want to do a lot of different stories. And this doesn't even count to comics, but, like, we're talking, like, music... Right. Movies.
People
like...
want to make things, and external forces, i.e. the people who are bankrolling these things, people who are producing these things, say, no, you can't, because they are afraid of losing money. They are afraid yep. that if they make this... All right, so this character is... If they make a character... If they made you as a character, Mo... They would be afraid that you would cause people to stop reading the book, as opposed to all the people like you who would want to read it now because you're there. They would rather exclude people to keep what they view as the default audience, the default target demographics, than bring in people who are not represented in this way.
Exactly. And the writers, they like they definitely want to. I'm pretty sure if they wanted Tim Drake to do a lot more for that relationship, even in that specific issue, there could be a kiss or something. There could have been a kiss. Who knows?
I mean, and I'm like, here's the thing, I'm sure there will be. I'm absolutely sure that there will be. I'm positive. Because they said this story will continue in Batman Urban Legends number 10, which I think is... When is that due out? Batman Urban Legends number 10 is coming out... Let's see. Urban Legends... 5 came out... Okay, that's not telling me. That's telling me the published date, which is not the actual date.
Yes.
I hate that!
Fuck.
It'll probably be next month.
Yeah.
It'll probably be sometime in September. And we'll see where that goes.
I think it'll go well. I don't think I'll read it. But I'll hear about it.
Yeah, I will tell you about it when it comes out.
Thank you.
It says release date December 14th. I don't believe that.
I was going to say that's a little off.
But if it's December 19th, if it's December 14th, it's December 14th. But currently it says December. We'll see. But I'll tell you when that comes out. And I'm sure at some point Tim will kiss Bernard.
And oh, yeah.
I do want to say one last thing before we get out of here, because we're over 2 hours now, which I told what? You I told you we would. We don't. We physically cannot talk for less than 2 hours.
We can't. It was worth a shot.
Yeah.
We do.
I didn't believe in us, frankly.
That's valid.
My two wishes. One is in regard to a thing that I hope doesn't happen in the books. And the other is a thing that I don't want to happen with fans. First, I am so scared that Stephanie Brown, Tim's long-term girlfriend in the comics, they've been together off and on for almost 30 years. I hope to God they don't make her act weird and like biphobic at him. I'll hate that so fucking much.
Like,
I do not want her icked out at Tim dating a guy.
Easy route to go to.
Yeah. If she reacts at all, I want her reaction to be like, yeah, that makes sense.
No, like, it's about time. You're finding yourself.
Yeah. Yes. I want her to be like, oh my God, finally. Jesus. I was waiting so long for you to figure this out.
Oh my God.
Like her.
That'd be like the best.
Her knowing the whole time and just like never saying anything and letting him figure it out on his own. I would love that. That would be great.
I want it to be a psych out too, like in a Spider-Man Homecoming, where Ned and Peter are like in the room, like with just their underwear on.
Yeah.
And Aunt May's like, oh, hey, what's going on? What's happening, guys?
Yeah. Like I want either that reaction or no reaction. I want her to be like, oh, hey, that's him. Cool. Like that's it. Two, when inevitably these two, Tim and Bernard, don't work out because he's Batman's son and civilian relationships never, ever, ever work for them.
Never work out.
Never for anybody in that family. I need people to not be weird. Especially if he gets back with Stephanie.
I was going to say, what was the reason before we sign off, what was the reason for Stephanie leaving or like them breaking up?
I don't know. I think from what I understand, I'm going to go back and read Urban Legends because I fell off. The only Batman book I was reading regularly was the main Batman title. Because like I would kind of pop in on Young Justice every once in a while, but it was like, mm-hmm. wasn't really doing stuff that I thought was super interesting. Tim not having his own book made it hard for me to keep track of what was going on. From what I understand, they just kind of break off panel, and it just didn't work. They were going in different directions. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. I'm okay.
But
that.
If and when he gets back with Stephanie, which I do think is a when, because everybody always resets back to who. Like, if a writer who likes them together comes in, they're going to get back together. Plain and simple. It's like, why are Dick and Barbara back together? Because the writers right now like them together. In 10 years, it might be Dick back with Starfire. I don't know. But I know that right now, Dick is with Barbara because they want him to be.
I really like Dick and Starfire.
I also like them. But I also like Dick and Barbara, so I'm fine.
Okay. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of that pairing because of those DC animated universe movies.
Yeah.
Starfire's a lot in those movies. She's like, you know, it's not like when we're fucking.
When we're fucking.
Like, so when we're in the bed, just she's fucking like, going to quite, pound town.
She's like, he's quite proficient.
He's like,
with his penis.
Fuck.
Ugh. She's like, don't talk about my dick in front of my little brother. What is your problem, Corey? Oh. God damn it.
Oh my God. See, we ran out of time, but we need to go over those movies at some point.
Yes.
I actually really like them.
I haven't seen Justice League versus Teen Titans, but I've seen the Judas Contract. So
I've seen all of it. It's ridiculous.
I'll watch the newer ones and we'll talk about them. But Thank you for hanging out with us through this show. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Archer Arios, ArxHerArios. The X is a C. Do not make me explain it. you can follow Monet on Twitter at Deep Space Niners. Deep Space number 9. Is it ERS after that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You can hang out with us there. Where I'm usually tweeting about dumb comic book bullshit. And I'd live tweet AEW Dynamite every Wednesday. And I usually catch the back half of AEW Rampage. I am still working on the History of Gundam project. I, just to briefly touch on this before we get out of here, I started scripting the Zeta part of that. And oh my
god. Really?
I got to Zeta. The last three episodes of Stardust Memory are so fucking nuts that I'm just like trying to make sense of everything as I put it in there. It's like, what the fuck am I looking at? So that's been a ride. I will try to have it out by, I'm going to say the end of September is kind of my loose goal to have that second part out. And then I will start working on the third part, which will maybe be the last part. No, I'm
That'll lying. Be awesome.
I'm lying.
Well, I'm glad you're lying. It's going to be great. I loved the first one, the first episode.
Thank you.
Can't wait for more.
The plan now is to do Stardust Memory and Zeta in this one. And then this might be five parts. Do Stardust Memory and Zeta in this one. Do Double Zeta and Char's Counterattack in the third part. And then do Unicorn Narrative F91 and... I haven't decided if I'm going to do Crossbones, so we'll see. But that's been the show. This has been Player Advantage. I'm Marcus. That is Monet. Thank you for hanging out with us, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.